Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Monday, September 12, 2016. With me today, I have Brian Chaffin. How are you, Brian?
I'm good.
You know, I'm always glad when you get some sleep over the weekend, because I can tell it's in your voice. John Bartolaro, how are you?
I wish you wouldn't introduce Brian first, because there's just nothing I can do to top that. So, good morning.
You know, I think you just did top that. Just saying. Hey, before we hop into topics, I just have to tell everyone, because I'm kind of excited. Tomorrow is when iOS 10 and watchOS 3 will be released to the public. It's also when we start seeing the first wave of new apps that are specific for iOS 10. And that means that the sticker packs that I've been working on so diligently are going to be available in the App Store.
Very cool.
I know. This has been a great experience for me, learning more about what it takes to be a developer. So come tomorrow. Space is the place. Both in color and black and white, will be available in the App Store. So anyhow, I'm just really excited about that and had to share.
That is very, 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 very cool. Congratulations. And when did you get the notification?
That was last night.
See, were you super excited?
Of course I was super excited.
Why am I just not hearing about this? You got the, not the stickers, but the approval.
Because I wanted it to be a big surprise when I mentioned it on the show. I love you, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Aww. Hey, Brian, you got to see several of the stickers ahead of time.
I did. That's true.
Yeah. And most people didn't. John's only seen one.
And glorious it was.
Well, I'm glad you liked it.
That's not what I heard.
No, that's not what I heard either, John.
I heard that he had some really snarky things to say.
Yeah. You know, that's what John is. Always just being like that.
Mm-hmm. But always a gentleman on the air.
And I do appreciate that. It makes me have to edit far less often.
There's another side of me people don't know.
Yeah. And maybe someday they'll get to see that. Not today.
I hope not.
All right. Well, we'll see. Okay. Hey, what I really want to do now is hop in to some interesting news. Brian, you wrote a piece. It's actually on the weekend by the time. Because, wow, time just flies. Anyhow, Apple has apparently shaken up its car project yet again.
Oh man, that was days ago.
Yeah, I know, and I know I'm really making you stretch to try to remember what you wrote about over the weekend.
Sorry about that, man. So, and it's funny you say I got sleep. That's just funny. So, it's the New York Times is reporting that Apple has been laid off dozens of employees from the car project and quote unquote shuttered parts of its self-driving car project. Now the Times posted that actually they even said it was another sign of trouble, or maybe they said signs, but they called it a sign of trouble. I'm not actually sure that we should take that viewpoint on it. Bob Mansfield is the former Mac hardware engineer who is now in charge of the car. Mm-hmm. And he is known to be willing to shake things up. He's actually very specifically known for being willing to knife a project, cancel it.
Sure.
And, you know, he's one of those people that you know, understands the value of saying no. When he in July, I think it was, we found out that he had taken over from Stephen, what's his name, Sandowski? Does that sound right?
That sounds right.
And one can assume that one of the reasons why Mr. Mansfield was chosen for it, in addition to him being kind of legendary, is that he has the skills to figure out where Apple is with all this stuff and has the skills to get it, to pull it together, and has the ability and willingness to kill it if he needs to. Mm-hmm. And so we've had stories that saying that Mr. Mansfield is, you know, maybe considering focusing only on the software and not actually building an Apple branded car. That was one of the things he was thinking about. There's been a few little leaks and dribs and drabs coming out of the project since he took over. This thing about Apple, about him laying off people, I mean, this project has more than 1,000 people on it. So Apple laying off dozens of people is probably less of a sign of the project being doomed and more of a sign of Mr. Mansfield having a better idea of where he's going with it.
Okay. So that, let's assume that's the case. Then that would mean that Bob has reached the point where he's been able to really start refining what the project is going to be. And as such, there are certain people that aren't necessary anymore because that's not part of the vision he has for Apple Car.
So the project has been canceled and people have been laid off. Now, that could be because he's, you know, heads are rolling, right? It could, you know, he's like, and you know, this project is out of control, and Apple, like, one of the things that the Times said is that people within the Apple Car project have had difficulty articulating what it is that actually, and I'll quote the Times again, struggled to explain what Apple could bring to a self-driving car that other companies could not, unquote. And it's possible that he's, you know, just firing people in the process of just, you know, just like getting rid of almost all of it. But again, dozens of people, even, which sucks for those people, don't get me wrong, mm-hmm. but dozens of people being laid off when the project has, that we know of, more than 1,000 people working on it, that's not necessarily bad. It's direction. It's probably, I would imagine, it's direction. Now, if Apple were laying off hundreds of people,
that would be a red flag.
That would be, or it'd be a sign that the car that we've been hearing about is no more. You know, that Apple is doing something much more limited. You know, going in a completely different direction. Laying off dozens of people. Yeah, I don't know.
All right. Well, thanks to your perspective, I'm feeling better about where the car project is going. I wasn't looking at this report as something that meant Apple Car is doomed, but I just wasn't quite able to put my finger on what this meant.
You know, lots of people took the negative side of it. You know, I tend to be a willfully optimistic person. This is a personality trait that I have been aware of for a long time. But just logically speaking, I don't necessarily see that. I very specifically don't see the negative side to come out of this. My take on this, I think, is highly logical.
Well, we also have to keep in mind that people look at whatever Apple is doing and try and find the negative. Right now, Apple is a favorite for getting slammed for whatever reason. And people like to see the hero up on the pedestal knocked down. And this would be a way to do that.
Jeff.
It's true.
John.
One of the things that helps me sort of figure out what might be happening is to watch the technical timeline and see how our thinking has evolved, because as the community's thinking clarifies and evolves, so has Apple's, likely. I remember when we first thought Apple was building an electric car, and an autonomous car would be phase two, because that would have to come later after Apple learned its trade to actually deliver an electric car that we drive to us. And then we went with the autonomous car out of the gate for a long time. And then we had the revelation with Apple investing in China and Didi that Apple might not be building a car for personal use, that they might be thinking about selling a car to Uber, Lyft, Didi, and the like, and that it would be boxy and not very good looking, and it didn't have to be because it was self-driving Econobox that would drive you around. And then we learned about all the car companies thinking about investing and acquiring these ride-sharing services so that the car companies could control their customers and not be blocked out of the market by newcomers. Mm-hmm. And then finally, we've been hearing about, you know, the competition, you know, in public, very publicly working on autonomous cars. And it kind of sets the mindset for us about what's coming. And meanwhile, all the insurance issues and legal issues are being hashed out in public. So I imagine that Apple's been going through the same process of thinking about what their marketplace might be, who the players are, who will be controlling the industry, how well other companies are working on these autonomous cars like BMW and GM and Google and Tesla. And as a result, trying to size up, as Brian so well said, exactly what they need to be doing. For a long time, I've often thought that Apple's key to this would be their unique ability to integrate hardware and software. And there would be really cool initial navigation aids for the non-autonomous car, virtual augmented reality and awesome control systems and maybe bigger and better built-in displays and more sensors and a more all-around view and cameras that record everything that goes on for the last 60 seconds of the trip and exotic flight data recorders and integration with CarPlay and, you know, all the cool things that Apple could do to
basically
assist
you want
the
Apple
driver
to build a shuttlecraft, don't you?
Yeah, basically, yes. And so that has been my theme all along. But I'm the only place I can come to right now is that perhaps Apple has discovered that some very big players with a lot of money are pouring a lot of resources into this situation. And we kind of get the feel for what they're doing. We don't know what Apple's doing. But Apple sort of has to be sizing up the marketplace. And as Brian said, figuring out where they can make a contribution. And that's probably the result of the cause of these layoffs, is that refined focus based on what we all know about what everybody else is doing. So that's where I'm sitting right now. And I agree with Brian. And what's exactly happening, of course, we don't know.
All right. Well, like I said, I'm feeling a lot better about this now, because I was wondering how to interpret the news. Is it just a refining of what's going on, or is it a sign of something going south with the Apple car? And I'm with you guys now. I think this is just Apple refining what they're working on and figuring out what the focus for the project is. Yep. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, great. All right. Well, the other thing that I wanted to talk about, and I just realized I kind of alluded to it a few minutes ago, and this is a whole thing with the media loving to slam Apple right now because Apple is the big company on the pedestal. John, in your particle debris on Friday, you talked about how Apple is the whipping post of choice for the media. And why do you say that?
Well, there is a lot of deep thinking going on in technology with regard to encryption, about Apple's decision to move forward without the analog audio jack, the things that Apple does to move us forward technically. But these are discussions that require a lot of thought. We had a discussion the other day in our staff meeting about AirPods, and I was on the side of thinking that if you put one down, you might lose it. But then we talked further, and Dave Hamilton explored his own experience with individual ear units, and he didn't have that problem. And the AirPod is designed to encourage you to put it back in its case where it will charge ready for the next time. So these are very complex and delicate issues. And it's, I alluded very, very, very briefly to politics because technical issues in politics are like this too. So when you start exploring issues, rather than getting into tedium and lots of explanation and boring numbers and speeds and feeds and psychology and customer reactions and statistics, it's a lot easier to just take the fun road and go with entertainment. And I gave an example, a fun example. I mean, I like Stephen Colbert. I gave an example of Stephen talking about Apple's decision to eliminate the 3.5 millimeter audio jack. And it was great fun. And poking fun at Apple is, a business that pays off handsomely. And so there's that element. And then the other element is that there are those editors who realize that there are people who are annoyed by Apple, don't like Apple's decisions, and they can make money as well by exploring the darker side of Apple, by creating headlines that lure us in, by criticizing Apple for its decisions based on, not very deep analysis or not very lengthy consensus analysis. It's sort of like science. You can come up with a crackpot theory, but if somebody else can't duplicate it and this community doesn't agree to it, then, you're cooked. But we don't have that peer review process. And so anybody can come up with an article that looks cool. And I give an example of the worst feature of the iPhone 7 that you'll just hate. I linked that to Apple.com as a small joke in the article. And the question was, did you click on that? And you see articles like that every day where you think the worst is happening, that Apple's stealing your money, Apple's taking you down the wrong path, Apple's made terrible decisions. And that's an exploitable psychology. Excuse me, I apologize. You can actually make money by alarming people and making them think the worst about Apple. Clever editors know that, and you see it in headlines all over the place. What's hard to do is to explain what Apple's really up to, what their best motivation is, what they're trying to do. And you saw that in the pushback when Phil Schiller said it took a little bit of courage to do this. It did take courage. I mean, there was an enormous pushback. Half of the community was saying this was a mistake. But I saw lots of pushback where Phil Schiller was being abused and ridiculed for using the word courage. So there's that psychological element of cashing in on everything Apple does, whether it's right or wrong. And so that was the gist of the article. It's a shame that has to be, because there are so many good writers out there who do such a fabulous job of sharing with us what Apple's up to, like Johnny Evans and Renee Ritchie and Serenity Caldwell and those people.
Brad Chaffin,
who do a fabulous job. Yeah. And all of us. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm being modest. So.
Hey, you're not being modest by leaving me out. Sure.
It's okay. I took care of you, Brian.
Thank you.
Yeah. If it wasn't Apple, it would be some other company. And maybe that's the big thing here. What does it say about Apple when they're not the company that the media wants to slam all the time? Does that mean they actually have fallen from grace, or is it just that there's an easier target somewhere else?
I don't know about that. I do know, because Apple is so popular and so iconic and is able to successfully market itself into people's lives, there is a bit of annoyance. I mean, I've been annoyed myself in the past with Apple's marketing in some respects. For instance, every time there's a new product, whatever it is, iPhone, iPad, Macintosh, Phil Schiller comes out on stage and says, "This is the best iPhone we've ever made." Well, of course it is. That's so logical. I mean, the latest is always the best. How are we supposed
except maybe for Samsung right now.
How are we supposed to respond to a statement like that? Are we supposed to, sit there and giggle and say, "Oh, that's so cool," or are we supposed to sit back and say, "Well, of course it is, Phil. Why are you even doing that?" So there are elements to Apple's marketing that can chafe. And so it's a delicate proposition. The second half of the article that we talked about Apple's iPhone naming scheme, which seems to be kind of weird in places. And the upshot there is that, well, at least Apple has us talking about it.
Yeah, that's true. We are always talking about whatever Apple is working on or potentially working on. Yeah. So, hey, we're out of time, so we have to wrap up. John, thank you so much for being here today.
You're very welcome.
And Brian, thank you for being here as well.
Yep.
And listeners, thank you for joining us. We're going to see everyone again tomorrow.